But I'll never know when some obsessive somewhere in the world will be peering into my bedroom, still curious, even years from now. And even if the worm cam disappeared tomorrow, it could never bring Desmond back. Look, it's been bad enough for me, but at least I know this is all because of something I did long ago. My husband and daughter had nothing to do with it, and yet they've been subject to the same pitiless stare. And Desmond... I'm sorry. She dropped her gaze. Her teacup was trembling with a delicate china rattle in its saucer. I'm sorry, too. I didn't agree to see you to make you feel bad. Don't worry. I felt bad already. And I brought the audience. I've been selfish. She smiled with an effort. They were here anyway. She waved her hand through the air around her head. I sometimes imagine I can disperse the watchers like flapping away insects. But I don't suppose it does any good. I'm glad you came, whatever the circumstances. Would you like some more tea? She had brown eyes. It was only as he endured the long drive back to Cedar City that that simple point struck him. He called, "Search engine, basic genetics, dominant and recessive genes. For example, blue eyes are recessive, brown dominant. So if a father has blue eyes and a mother brown, the children should have..."
"Brown eyes? It's not quite as simple as that, Bobby. If the mother's chromosomes carry a blue eyes gene, then some of the children will have blue eyes too."
Blue, blue from the father, blue, brown from the mother. Four combinations.
"Yes. So one in four of the children will be blue-eyed."
I have blue eyes, he thought. Heather has brown. The search engine was smart enough to interpolate his real question.
"I don't have information on Heather's genetic ancestry, Bobby. If you like, I can find out."
"Never mind. Thank you." He settled back in his seat. No doubt it was a stupid question. Heather must have blue eyes in her family background. No doubt. The car sped through the huge, gathering night. 14. Light years. Hiram stalked around David's small room, silhouetted by picture window Seattle nighttime skyline. He picked up a paper at random, a faded photocopy, and read its title.
"Lorentzian wormholes from the gravitationally squeezed vacuum. More brain-busting theory?"
David sat on his sofa, irritated and disturbed by his father's unannounced visit. He understood Hiram's need for company, to burn off his adrenaline, to escape the intensely scrutinized goldfish bowl his life had become. He just wished it didn't have to be in his space.
"Hiram, do you want a drink? A coffee, or...
a glass of wine would be fine. Not French."
David went to the refrigerator.
"I keep a Chardonnay. A few of the Californian vineyards are almost acceptable."
He brought the glasses back to the sofa.
"So," Hiram said, "Lorentzian wormholes?"
David leaned back in the sofa and scratched his head.
"To tell the truth, we're nearing a dead end. Cosmere technology seems to have inherent limitations. The balance of the capacitors, two superconducting plates, a balance between the Cosmere forces and electrical repulsion is unstable and easily lost. And the electric charges we have to carry are so large there are frequent violent discharges to the surroundings. Three people have been killed in Wormcam operations already, Hiram. As you know from the insurance suits. The next generation of Wormcam is going to require something more robust. And if we had that, we could build much smaller, cheaper Wormcam facilities and propagate the technology a lot further."
"And is there a way?"
"Well, perhaps. Cosmere injectors are a rather clunky 19th century way of making negative energy. But it turns out that such regions can occur naturally.
If space is sufficiently strongly distorted, quantum vacuum and other fluctuations can be amplified until...